Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Up In Your Business. We're here with Kayla from two different businesses. So I'll let you kind of introduce yourself, but say hello and tell us what you do.
Sure. Sounds good. So my name is Kayla Colson. I do own two businesses. So the first is IV&K, which is a clothing and apparel company. We started that 7.5 years ago. So that's kind of my first baby. And then recently in the last year and a half, I started my second business, which is called the 80 Group, and that's helping other business owners grow their business through project management, business growth strategy consulting, all those kinds of things. That's what I'm up to.
Very cool. Quick question. Did running the clothing and apparel brand kind of inspire you to start the 80 Group?
Yeah. So I really... not to toot my own horn, but was good at what I was doing, and I had a lot of people. I was building a community where people were asking me questions and for help, and I was like, wait a minute, like I could actually just do this all the time. That would be great. So that's kind of
and
where
get paid
from.
For it.
Yeah, exactly. That's where it came from, really.
That's cool, because I've kind of thought over the years too that like there's so much information and lessons and everything you learn from running a business that you could really share. So that kind of makes sense. That's cool.
Did you go to business school or anything like that?
I did.
Oh, so, you did? Okay.
Yeah, my undergrad degree is in business, and then my master's degree is actually in innovation management and entrepreneurship.
Oh, cool. So you got it all figured out.
Yeah, so it kind of guides in as well, which was part of the reason I was like, wait a minute, like I actually like do know what I'm talking about when it comes to this.
Because I was going to say, like when we started the business, like we went to film school, so you don't really have the business background. So by creating the business, you kind of learn as you go. So I don't know if that's what you were basing off of, but clearly not. You're way more qualified.
Well, to be honest, I started my business in my college dorm room. I built IV&K out of there. I was selling on Etsy. I used my roommate's iron to make t-shirts.
While you were in school.
I didn't even own an iron myself. So I always say that like I literally was learning in class like how to run a business and would like go home and like type it in my computer and okay, like we're going to try this today. And so kind of along the same lines, I really was like building as I went, and then after that I was like, here's the strategy behind why this has worked the whole time.
That's funny.
So
tell us a little bit about like your upbringing growing up, sort of what inspired you to start a business.
I always joke that like my entire family is teachers. Every single like member of my family basically is an educator, and I'm just like not meant for that, and that's okay. But you know, going through kind of growing up, my parents were always around and really supportive, which is great. I actually started my first business in the fourth grade.
Nice.
My teacher will tell you that like my friend and I, we were, you know, writing these books and like selling things to people in class, and she was like, if you can figure it out, like you can go for it. So we always joke that that was like really my first business. But you know, from there I've always been relatively entrepreneurial, you know, hardworking, those kind of things, and that's kind of really what brought me to kind of starting this business. But really honestly, it just kind of came out of opportunity. I was like, I saw, you know, people with a Cricut kind of making things and making it happen. And from there, I was like, okay, like, I could probably do that. And then I started it and kind of went from there. And now I don't necessarily use the same tools as I was using, but I grew it really from there.
Were either of your parents, like, did they start their own businesses? Or, like, what did they do for work? What kind of, did you have any sort of inspiration there at all?
No, but I will say that, my dad was really kind of the one to push me into start doing like local events and markets and stuff that. So growing up, my mom and my grandma, like we went to craft fairs all the time. Very familiar with the game, the big ones where you want to go to get the right gifts, those kind of things. Yeah. But, when I came back for grad school, my dad was like, oh, well, like you could do some of the local events. I'm from Pawtucket. So in Pawtucket, we have the Pawtucket Arts Festival, which every September is really big, and they have a lot of vendors. And I went that year that I was back from grad school. My dad was like, you could do this. And I was like, well, I'm not art. Like, I don't sell art. I sell t-shirts. And he was like, yeah, but like, you could still apply. And it's a juried show. So I was like, I have to get approved. Like, there's no way that I'm going to get approved. So I applied, and the next year, of course, I got in, and he was like, well, I told you so.
I feel like t-shirts are still art. Yeah. You're still creating on it,
you know,
it, right?
It's a fine line, like, show-wise, whether people are going to accept you or not. And that's just something that comes with, like, the game, basically, yeah, in that sense. So it is, but it's not always going to be included, like, in yeah, that sense. But, you know, that's my hometown event. It's my best event of the year always. So oh, it's kind of cool that that's been able to, like, tie in as the one that I was, my dad told me to do. And I was like, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah. That's yeah, funny. And I guess, like, starting a clothing brand, like, what were some of the challenges in kind of the really early days of starting it that are kind of specific to clothing and apparel?
Yeah, there's a couple things. One is obviously how to get yourself out there. So I did start on Etsy. I'm still on Etsy, but I started on Etsy and learning how to work the algorithm to work in your favor of bringing yeah, people to your shop is really interesting. Yep. And that's something that a lot of people ask me about is Etsy specifically, like wow, how to make it happen, because it's a beast in itself.
Sure.
But something that I learned really quickly was to operate kind of in a just-in-time inventory. So not holding things on hand was something that was really important for my growth, like, in those first couple years.
Sure.
But then, like I said, when I got back from grad school, it was kind of – or back to grad school, it was kind of a – okay, where are we going to go from here? I had a friend who was also in my program in grad school who also ran an apparel business, which was really, really cool for us to kind of bounce off what we were learning and also what we were doing in our own businesses.
Yeah.
And he wore his product every single day. And I was not at a point where I was wearing, like, the things that I was making all the time. And that really kind of forced a shift. I was like, if I wouldn't wear it, why am I making it? Why am I selling it? Yeah, and so that kind of transitioned me into more of my own line. Things that I would wear, things that I want to share, like, with the world. And so that was a really big shift, that's worked for the better. But, you know, it wasn't what I was doing when I started. I still do all those custom orders. Sure. I do corporate orders. I do all those kinds of things, which that's is great. Cool. But the pieces that are most special are obviously my own line.
Yeah, because you're more passionate about it, right?
Like, right.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's cool. Like, a lot of times, like, I'll see people I know, like, wearing my stuff, which is really cool.
Oh, that's really
cool. But when you see a stranger that you don't know in public, like, wearing your stuff, like, that's really awesome. I'll have my family will text me. They'll be like, hey, because obviously Rhode Island's so small. They'll be like, hey, I saw somebody in your shirt. Or they'll send me a picture. Or they'll meet them. My dad's always like, oh, my daughter made that. You know, like, really, really sweet. But
proud dad.
Yeah. And it's really sweet. But it's really cool to, like, see somebody wearing for stuff.
Sure. That I bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Starting, so you said the clothing brand is how long have you been doing that?
7.5 years.
What would you say was the point where you felt like, okay, we really have something here, and, like, this is gonna work? Because, you know, there's obviously a statistic that over half of businesses fail in the first, like, few years. And obviously it's a risk starting a business. So, like, what was that point that you were like, all right, this is gonna work?
I think that so, like I said, I started in my college dorm room. So it was like really great extra income for a college kid. Yeah. Like, even if it wasn't making, if it was making $100 a month, like, I was like, sweet, $100 extra.
You got money for like drinks and going out.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, my Target run of the week or whatever. Yeah.
School books.
Yeah. But I will say that when I came back for grad school, so that was the fall of 2018, I had, so I started off making sorority shirts. I was in a sorority on campus. It was a great market of people to kind of tap into. Sorority girls like to spend money. It's cool. Works for me. And they love a matching t-shirt.
And you're buying bulk. That's a
and you're bulk buying order. Bulk. Yeah. Right. Exactly. And in that fall, I posted a set of rose gold, like, Big Little Reveal t-shirts, and they just went.
Wow.
It was pretty insane. Cool. And at that point, I was like, okay, like, I guess something's really working here.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
the top, like, if you search sorority Big Little shirts on Etsy, I was the top listing, which was really, really cool. I would, like, log out every day and be like, what number am I today? but that really taught me, I guess it was like going viral before going viral, like, really. But it really taught me systems of, like, ordering and getting things in and efficiently, like, making processes to really, like, be making this stuff in bulk. You know, before I was doing like 3, 4, 5 orders a week, which is fine. Right. But at that point it was like, between my ordering one day and the next day, I was getting 25 orders of multiple shirts in them. And I was like, oh, this is like a lot. And it was really from there that I was like, okay, like there's really some A, money pouring into this to be able to invest in like where we want to go. And B, there's, you know, people want to buy this stuff. So it was like really cool. And it was also, they were rose gold shirts. So it was like on trend of the time. Yeah. And it was like the first like trend that I guess I had followed that it worked. Yep. And so I've kind of like gone from there in my own line and things like that with things that are popular. But that was really the first moment that I was like, oh, this could like actually be something. Again, I was still in school.
Right.
So I was still like, oh, this is great side money. But then I was like, actually like really bringing some cash in. And I was like, okay. And that was really where, you know, with what I was learning of people who are working for themselves all the time, like whether that was what I wanted to do or not.
Yeah. And I guess just as you were talking, this almost like felt like it could be on Shark Tank. Did you ever think of going on Shark Tank?
Honestly, I was thinking the same.
I like the way you were talking about how, like, I feel like so many stories in Shark Tank, like somebody starts it like out of their dorm room or out of their closet, and all of a sudden, like, boom, something just like picks up and they have like hundreds of orders. And then like, that's the story they're telling on Shark Tank. And yeah, I don't know. So did you ever think about that or no?
It's a little Shark Tank X for sure. I would say that I didn't think about that. Apparel's so weird. Like any business that you start like has its own like ebbs and flows, but apparel is so different in the sense that like trends come and go really fast.
Right.
I can tell you, I've probably sold 5 of those rose gold shirts in the last year. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, like, they come and go really fast. You have to hop on like what's trendy, but at the same time, like, and I know that apparel brands do like make it on Shark Tank, but it's not in the same target. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's like the Snuggie or something like that. Like, it has like a different use.
It's not in the same category for sure. And I think it's all based on trend and what people are interested in. Right. So, for example, during COVID, when everybody was locked down, like I did a live sale once a week on my like Facebook and Instagram pages, and I was like selling things like crazy. Yeah, it was really, really cool. And it was great because with supply issues, like nobody had gifts, but I had stuff for people to be able to like buy and deliver. I did lawn signs for graduations. Like I did this like kind of stuff.
Damn.
Yeah, it was really, really
cool. Talk about pivoting and just making it work.
Yeah. But on the other hand, like this past summer, after my last like event, I did like a live sale of, I call it like the sale bin, like the ones and twos that are like left over. And I sold like 10 things versus where I used to sell like 100 things on my live sales because everybody was at home.
Right.
So it's just like different. It's definitely taken some ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what makes it different from like your Shark Tank-esque like business model project.
Because you're kind of changing your business model with the times, which is, you know, going to make you successful.
Yeah.
Makes it challenging.
What
would you say, you know, with like, you know, we were just kind of saying everything's always changing. What would you say have been some of the sort of tactics or strategies that have been like kind of tried and true and always worked or always helped, I guess?
Yeah. So the rose gold thing was kind of accidental. Right. I was like, oh, people asked me for this. Like, I'll just make it and post it. What I've kind of learned from that situation is to get out ahead of it. So now for sorority, I still make sorority shirts. I still sell them on Etsy. I get out there in the summer and then in the winter and see what's popular, and design my own to like go along with that, and what's popular. I've really leaned into seasonal, for my own line. So my motto is that if you're not posting about it, like people don't know that you're doing it.
Right.
Even though it's all up on my website, it's been up on my website for 5 years now. Like, if you don't tell people that you have these kind of products, like they don't know.
Yeah.
And so last year, for example, I launched a couple of new Shamrock, like St. Patrick's Day things, and I was selling them like crazy because, you know, people were really interested. Last year, I also posted Valentine's things that nobody bought any of. This year, I posted Valentine's things, a ton of people bought them. Like you can't predict it, but the best you can do is show people what you've got.
Right.
So are you? It's funny, like, because, you know, we always talk about, like, the seasonal beer and all that stuff where it comes out too early. Are you, like, do you put your Christmas stuff out once, like, Halloween is done? Are you one of those? And like, who makes those decisions? Because
it's me. I make the decisions. So something really great about being in business for this long now is that they're all there. They all live on the website all the time. So if you really want to get a hold of it, you can get a hold of it anytime. I do put new things out. And something that I think has been a fault of mine is that I haven't put new things out like soon enough for people to be able to order and get them done.
Get them in time.
They usually come from like requests. So somebody's asking me to make this for them and kind of go in that route. Like I said, literally yesterday I went online and switched the website from Valentine's to St. Patrick's. And it's kind of one of those things that's like, when it's me, like, I am the business owner. Like, unfortunately, it's at the mercy of like my schedule and what I'm doing. Right. But the products are all there. So if people really want to look, they can find them if they search them. You know, they're all tagged Valentine's Day or Christmas or things like that.
Yeah.
But I bring Christmas out at my events starting in September. And people will buy them.
Yeah. I mean, there's always people who want to be ahead of planning and get things done ahead of time. I mean, even my wife, she puts out like the pillows and stuff for Christmas like way too soon. I'm like, it's warm outside. We do not need Santa Claus on the pillows yet.
Yes.
Like, relax.
But I will say it's really hard for me. So some people are really, really good at getting like design done ahead of time.
Yeah.
I am not. I have to be in the mood for it to like get there. I don't like to post fall before September 1st, like, because I'm not ready to be over it yet.
Thank you.
So it's something that I've had to like learn and get there. To be ahead, at least.
I guess like running an apparel brand at this point, do you have anybody working for you? Do you have employees?
My family jokes that they are all my employees.
Nice. That's what family's for, right?
We do have staff meetings. my dad
family
joked,
dinner.
Yes. Yeah. Family vacation also, you know, you staff go. Party.
Yeah. Write that off.
Yep. My dad jokes that he is receiving and like all of that in the warehouse. And my mom comes with me to every event, which is really great.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's great.
My brother is a graphic designer.
Oh, cool.
And a photographer, so he does help me sometimes.
Nice.
In those kind of sense. He also is a broke college kid, so he counts shirts and and other things.
That's cool.
You know, my sister does deliveries on her way. So it's really like a family affair in that sense. I don't have any official employees. Something that I'm kind of toying with is bring on maybe a marketing intern for both businesses, just because I'm really doing it all on my own, which is fine. I can do that, but I just can't get to everything all the time.
Exactly. You only have so much time.
Yeah, so that's like coming up the forefront. But yeah, they always joke that like I'm the retirement job. My brother's like, you got to make it big enough so when I graduate college, I can just work for you.
Yeah.
That'll be,
he's already got it planned out.
Yeah, he's ready. He's ready to be a full-time employee. Yeah.
Now, in terms of like stocking and stuff, how much are you keeping in inventory at a time? And like, do you have a place that you keep all that at? Do you keep that much quantity that you need a place for it? Tell us about that.
So like I said, apparel is weird. I'm never going to sell out, right? I'm never going to have the size everybody wants, the color everybody wants, and those kind of things. And that's something that's really, really hard to learn at the beginning for apparel businesses. And that's part of what I share with people that are newer that I work with, is that you're never going to get 100% right. The last year has really been a challenge for me in that area of inventory, because in college I was running just in time. And when I started doing shows, I had to start having inventory. So last year, my biggest show of the year in September was a 2-day ordeal. I paid for two tents, and it downpoured the entire weekend.
Oh, no.
Which was a lot to handle, kind of stressful, like in my mind, like I just put out for all this inventory that I thought was going to sell, is not going to sell. But my philosophy on inventory is that for that biggest show of the year in September, I make what the quantity of inventory I think I would need to carry me through every show in December. And so with that, it helps me to have a stock table. And that show is the biggest. So things move relatively quickly. And then, you know, I'll have enough to carry me through at a normal show.
Yeah.
It rained a lot in the last year, as you may know.
Right.
And so my inventory calculations were off.
Right.
I have a ton of inventory sitting in my garage, which usually at the end of the season, it's like 2 or 3 bins. Not a big deal. No. We have 2 full shelves of 10 bins each right now, full of inventory, which is fine. It was a learning curve, and it's all ready. I don't have to prep anything to go to an event next. So it's like that kind of trade-off, but that was like really stressful for the past year, and it's taught me like, okay, maybe we cut down the amount of designs that are on the table. Maybe we tone it back. You know, it's all on the website, those kinds of things. Yeah. But I will say that what goes is so different from show to show that I do. And even on my website, like, you can do your best to predict it, but you can't.
How can you? Yeah. Each person's different coming up to your trade booth. So
yeah. Like, and I will say, like, the events that I do bring in different people. So I do a couple events at breweries. So, you know, that clientele is different than, like, a traditional craft show.
Right.
Versus events at schools and things like that. So you just have to like do your best on the inventory, and sometimes it doesn't work, but we're gonna sell it eventually.
Right. Do you do jerseys?
I do some. I do mostly on those. I do like names, so like people buy like them in bulk, and then I'll do the names. But I have a couple dance studios that I do their apparel 100%. So I run their program for them.
Nice.
I work with sports teams. I work with.
Wait, are any of the dancing studios? My wife's little cousin is one. I think it's called something Stars, Shooting Stars, Rising Stars.
I don't
stars.
Do theirs. No. Yeah. No, I do Shannon O'Brien School of Dance in Attleboro. I grew up dancing there, so I do all their apparel.
Nice.
And then Kellyanne Dance Center in there in Portsmouth or Middletown down there. So, yeah. Yeah, that's been a cool adventure just to, like, get that piece of my life involved. I do sports teams. I do, like, championship sweatshirts, like those kinds of things. Cool. So, yeah, it's been cool.
I've been really big into basketball lately, like playing and watching. Yeah.
Were you going to try to get a jersey?
I think. So anyway, some of my cousins and like my wife's like friends and her friends like spouses and stuff. Like I've been playing, and so there's a couple guys that I've been playing with, and I've been telling them that I want to put together like either a tournament or like a couple games.
Where can I be the ref?
Where you put it
the other? Hell yeah,
exactly. Where we'll pay to rent Teamworks in Seekonk for an hour. It's like $75 for an hour.
Yeah.
So I've been thinking.
Sponsored by Focus Forward Media.
Yeah.
There you go.
I was thinking, how cool would it be to like have us, you know, put together 2 teams of 5, get jerseys, and plan like 5 games, like, you know, 5 weeks in a row or something.
That'd be hilarious.
And we all get jerseys, and you could be the ref.
I would love to be the ref. And, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I just feel like that would be so cool, get jerseys with our names on them.
I'm teching everybody up. Everyone's
Well, that's the kind of fun, though.
I think it would be cool.
Yeah, that's a cool idea. I like that.
That's, like, the kind of fun that I'm able to do because I don't have print minimums, right? Like, your big companies that are going to charge you, like, crazy for 5 jerseys, whereas, like, it's just me. Like, I can make you 5 jerseys for a regular, like, costs. And so that's a lot of the business that I bring in is those like local smaller like that aren't looking to do crazy amounts.
Well, it's funny, like even here, you know, like we need new apparel. Actually, now that I think about it, we do need new apparel. But yeah, everything's a minimum of like 50 pieces. It's like we don't need that many, and like what are they gonna have 40 of them sitting in the closet over there? Like they're not gonna be touched.
Yeah,
so like I think for a small business, that's a great advantage to have.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm pretty sure we ran into that with our first ever like order of shirts that we needed. We really only needed probably like 4, but we had to.
The gray ones.
Yeah.
And then not the Nike ones.
We
the
gave
other
them
ones.
All away.
Yeah, because
they
was like
around.
Right.
And it's like now that's like the old logos are on them, so you can't even wear them anymore. Yeah. So it's just like we ended up giving them away to a bunch of people.
Yeah.
It's the only thing to do.
Yeah, small quantity is something that's really like I have a great advantage over, which is great for my vendor friends and things like that. Yeah. You know, they're like, hey, I need 3 shirts. Can you make that happen? Yeah. And I can say yes versus your like custom inks of the world. And also with that, people use it as an opportunity to like for cost savings, really. Like, okay, I've hired 3 new people. I'm going to order 3 more shirts, but I didn't need to keep them in the closet over there.
Right.
So it's that kind of thing. Right.
Do you do embroidery too, or is it?
I don't do embroidery myself. Dad, if you're listening, I'm not buying an embroidery machine. Those wants me to buy one so bad. Yeah. Honestly, I just don't want to learn how to use it. Like,
what's the difference? I'm sorry, what's the difference? Embroidering is like it.
Sewing.
Yeah, it's like your hat. It's like sewing.
You would like, you can design on the computer and then send it in there, and it's like a. It's like the vinyl cutter machine I had, except I'm sure you have a vinyl machine, but it takes a computer program and sews it in there. Stitches. Yeah.
Yeah. They're a big investment. And I have really great embroidery partners that I'm like, so it's taken some time to find the right like people to work with for like small quantities and things like that, but I definitely have good people in place it kind of makes the apparel like full service at that sense. I manage it all. It's really easy for me to work with my partners quickly. We speak the same language versus like a client coming in not knowing anything of what they need.
And plus with the embroidery, like, that means you'd have to send your client a sew out, make sure they approve it, and then I'm sure whoever you have does all that for you, right? Yeah. Like, they give you the sew out to send to them and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of proofing goes into it. And the beauty of the work that I do with my embroidery partners is that it becomes like reorder. So, you know, it's set up. Yeah. They just turn it on. It goes. It's beautiful. It comes out really great. So that's been a really great partnership for me to have.
Yeah.
For sure.
What number would a ref be?
I want 00.
I was going to say that. Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like a 00 would be.
Is that what you're thinking about this?
Well, refs get to pick their number, I think.
Oh, man.
There you go. You're 00.
Yeah. Can I go three numbers, three digits?
No.
Two only. And isn't basketball, it has to be on one hand?
Yeah, but I'm the ref. I can do whatever I want.
I guess. Unless somebody's going to call it on you.
What does that mean? Yeah. The ref has to be on one hand.
Like, you like the numbers in basketball, don't they have to be on one hand? Like
when you call someone's foul, they're like 1-5.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Hey, how would they do? I guess you can go like 60-something.
Yeah, that's why
like,
it's confusing. Yeah. It has to be on one hand for basketball.
That's a good point.
I'd probably be number 15 because my birthday is the 15th.
Yeah, 1-5. We all said.
I will call a lot of fouls on you.
1-5, out. Okay, so I'm curious. I would really like to hear the sort of transition from, you know, running IV&K, and then what led you to say, hey, I want to start a consulting business.
Yeah. So it took me a year and a half to find a full-time job post-graduation. Sure. With like, because my degree is, so it's actually underneath the School of Engineering. Because
what college you go to?
At Brown. So,
oh, Brown. Okay.
So innovation management entrepreneurship is under the School of Engineering, which is weird. And now
it is weird.
Yeah, it's not an MBA, so it's yeah, it's a lot to like navigate, and in the job hunt of like bots reading your resume, like I never fit in like the right category. So it was a tough like year and a half of trying to find a job. And then I was like, oh, do I just go full time now? Like, what do I do? And so eventually I found a role as an executive assistant, which was really awesome. I spent 2.5 really great years as an executive assistant at Blomfine Foods in Fall River. Cool. So I was the assistant to the CEO. We did all sorts of things. It was fun. We did a lot of apparel handouts. Our employees love t-shirts. And I was still running IV&K on the side.
Yeah.
And as we just kind of navigated like the role, the things that I was doing a lot of project management. I was doing a lot of strategy.
Yeah.
And I also was building my community of business owners on the side as a Facebook group and just people that I know and I talk to. I bring them in when I meet them kind of at craft fairs and stuff like that. And when I was deciding that it was time for like the next step, I was like, well, if I'm going to go work for somebody else, like why not just work for myself?
Yeah.
Which is every entrepreneur's like dilemma all the time. And then of course it's like, how do you actually like make this happen?
Right.
So I spent a lot of time building up IV&K. So a lot of collections coming in, but also booking a full event schedule I do events, September through December.
Sure.
I try not to do them before then. They're just not, people aren't really interested in buying clothing from me at that,
it's the summertime.
Before.
People are outside. They're,
people just aren't shopping. Like, whereas you hit September and people are like, I'm buying Christmas gifts. Like, it's very interesting, like that kind of switch. But it works for me and it allows me to like have flexibility to like live my life before then. So that's cool. And so as I built it up, I was really, you know, starting to get asked a lot of questions. And I was like, I kept going back and forth. And my extended family, we were spending a lot of time out in the backyard in the summers. And, you know, my uncle was just like, I just don't understand. Like, why don't you just get people to hire you to do what you do. Like, you, yeah, you do it, you're good at it. And that was kind of really the push. He came up with the business name, so he gets the credit mm-hmm. for that. But I was ready. I had decided, okay, I'm going to make this shift. And I had a client fall into my lap, a full-time client. And I was like, okay, this will be the universe's sign that we're good to go, I guess. And so that's kind of how it worked. From there, I picked up a couple clients from referrals. I've done some short-term projects. But that was really the shift. That I was like, if I'm leaving this like corporate job, I'm going to leave it to work for me and not for anybody else.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And so, like, tell us a little bit about like starting that and you know, getting into consulting and, yeah, you know, sort of finding clients and things like that.
Yeah. So something really like special about, I think, the way that it worked was that I like call it lucky girl syndrome. I'm like, oh, it just fell into place. Like, yeah, just the way, you know, but at some point, like, I have trouble with control and I'm like, okay, I just have to like let it out and like something's going to come, the right thing's going to come. And so my first client is actually Brown, and I've worked with them. I'm working with them on a consulting basis now, have been for the last, you know, year and a half. It's been really great. And I also have gotten some clients through referrals. Cool. I also have people in my life who are also building businesses. Like I said, my brother's a graphic designer and a photographer, so I've been helping him with it. And my friend is also, she does branding, social strategy, and that kind of stuff. So I've been helping her with that. But something really special about it, I think, is that I'm now doing this for the second time, right? When I was building Ivy and Kay, like, I was just like, I was winging it.
Right.
Like 100% winging it.
For sure.
And now as I'm building this, I know what I'm doing, which is really like cool.
Yeah.
Place to be in, I guess. You know, I'm intentional about the people that I'm bringing on and people that I want to work with.
Yep.
I'm intentional about my time. Like, I did this to not, you know, be tied down to 9 to 5 and do what I need to do. I work with clients that I like working with. You know, it's all those kinds of things that were important to me as I was kind of building this forward. And so it's been really cool to kind of build that up, see what works. I've done a couple like free webinars with people that are really great, helps build that community.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a really special experience to like get to do it again. And like for me this time, not just to like see what people want.
Right. You learn so much from actually running a business. And then, you know, when you go to start another one, you're like, all right, I know a lot from this first time around. So I've rode this rodeo before.
Yeah. And I think some of the beauty of it too, is that I work with people who are building their business. So I have a friend who, she's just been building up her social following and like influencer life. And so she's been coming to me with her questions and how should she set this up strategy wise? And I, you know, I give people ideas that I think are like so second nature to me at this point, and they're like, wow, like that is so smart. And I'm like, okay, good. Like, but to me it's like, you know, just you're normal. Living it.
Right.
Like, it's my second nature all the time.
What it is.
Yeah.
It's good that you realize that your knowledge is worth something though, because some people would just like say that and not realize that, hey, that's a very vital piece of information I'm giving out there.
And that's hard.
Yeah, I'm sure. Especially with friends, knows. I'm sure it's tough too.
But on the other hand, the more of those like friends and family, like clients that I do help out in those situations, it all becomes experience for me to be able to turn around to like paid clients and say, well, I have this experience that I can help you with, even if it was unpaid experience that I got. But I also do a lot of project management, event management, like logistics and things like that. That kind of strategy is the way that my brain works. It has always worked like that. So again, those things are second nature, and most people that are hiring for that just don't have the brain capacity to do it. Like, they just want somebody to do it.
Right.
Which is great.
Yeah. Where do you see most of your focus on the day to day? Is it split fairly evenly, or is it like more towards one of the businesses?
You know, it's funny because I was thinking about today and recording like a day in the life of like what I do. Because, you know, everybody is always like, so like, what do you do during the day? Because it always changes.
Sure.
I would say that my time fluctuates. It's always fluctuating. It's no week is really ever the same.
The same.
I spend a lot of time doing, you know, the admin work, the emails, the the budgeting, the those kinds of
boring
things.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Which is
necessary,
not as fun.
But boring.
Necessary. But it's also second nature. Like, I do that a lot faster. I always say, like, I start and end my day with, like, the admin kind of things.
Yes.
And then, you know, piece in the rest where I need to.
Right.
But, like, for example, yesterday afternoon, I banged out 45 t-shirts, like, in the afternoon after I had my three calls. And I also, you know, got these kind of budget things. I transitioned over to St. Patrick's Day. Like, it just gets done. So it's hard to say I don't have, like, an even split. Like, this is how I spend my time.
Right.
But on the other hand, it works out that, you know, if I need to go do something, go pick something up, it works out that I'm able to make it flexible.
Yeah. I find that that's always a tough question. Even when, like, we'll have classes or schools reach out to us sometime and they'll want to come in and, like, you know, check out our place and see what a day is like here. And the Met has hit us up many times. We had a kid come in and shadow us for a day. But they came in for an interview one time and they're like, so what's a normal day for you? And I not say I hate the question, because I think it's a good question. Obviously, it's cool to hear what people's days are like. I find it fascinating too, but it's just so hard because literally every day could be different. And so I'm like, well, I guess usually I start with some emails, but sometimes I have a shoot, but sometimes, you know, it's just like, it literally could be different every day.
Or it's like the classic, well, I wake up and I have a to-do list, then I get into work and realize I don't touch that to-do list till 3 p.m.
because
other things are popping up in front of you.
Right, right. Or a client emails about something urgent, and so then, like, everything I was planning to do just gets pushed to the side. So it's just like... Yeah, it's,
and I think that's, like, tough to navigate too, in the sense that, you know, at this point, like, it's me, like, so I'm like, well, here we go today, you know, like, but on the flip side of that, I'm also able to, like I said, like, I went on vacation last week, so I was able to navigate what I needed to do from my phone and get things done, make sure my clients had what they needed, and then also be on vacation.
Right.
So it works out, like, on both those sides for sure.
It's funny, I like just talking about it like that now, it like kind of brings up this point. I feel like running a business is going to be hard for anybody who really needs, like, a structure or, like, a schedule. Like, I think you have to be able to adapt and change, and like, no day is ever going to be the same as the last one. So anyway,
I agree with that. And I also think that, you know, like, people joke with me, like, really, what do you do all day?
Right.
But again, it's those things that I think are, like, second nature. Like, you just do them because this is what you do. That, like, people don't even think that that's, like, part of what you do. For example, like, yesterday I was going through, you know, my Facebook page or whatever, and I was like, oh, like, I should, somebody invited me to, like, theirs, like, I should go through and set out a new round of, like, invites to, like, the IB&K Facebook page. Fine. I go through, I did that, I invited, like, 75 people, but I also took that and then posted on the 80 group page and was like, hey, like, if you need something to do today to grow your business, like, post, you know, go invite people to, like, your Facebook page. And then I was turning it into, like, oh, have you signed up for my email list? Like, all those kinds of things.
It's
that, like,
one-offs off of it.
That aren't necessarily scheduled, but, like, it popped into my head, and so we did it, and now it was a piece of content. It was, I got all these new likes, like, I brought all these new people in, and it was just, like, one idea I had sitting in my day.
Right. That's funny. I guess looking forward over the next 6 months, what are some of the sort of plans for the two businesses? What's sort of the vision for the near future?
Number one at IB&K is to sell the inventory. Which is a joke.
Clear out those shelves.
A joke, but also true.
Sorry, not to cut you off, but when you say inventory, do you mean just blank shirts that are able to be printed on, or they already have prints on them?
Oh, no, they're printed.
They're fully printed
on? So that's a good point, though. So when I first started, it was just in time. And for the stuff that I do have on my Etsy and on my website, I use screen print transfers now. I don't use vinyl.
Okay.
So that, you know, they're better washable.
It's more durable,
like,
too.
Yeah, more durable. I like the way it looks better. It's more comfortable when you're wearing it. So I do have the transfers that's a lot of the inventory. But as far as the show inventory, like stuff that goes on the table at events, those are already pressed.
Okay.
And ready to go. So, yes, they're not blank, unfortunately. My supplier is really great, so I can actually, like, return. Like, so... Oh. If something happens, a lot of times for events, I'll buy extra blanks. I won't press them yet. But if it's a two-day event, like an I sell out of something the first day, I'll go home and make more so that I have more for the second day. But if not, I can return them, which is really
cool. Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Been a great partner, my shirt supplier. They call me and ask me questions all the time. I'm like on their like, you know, board of like ask me all these questions, which is really great. Cool. So it's good to have good suppliers in your way. But yes, the current inventory that we need to sell is printed. And so that's on the list. But actually, really, what I mean by that is I need to navigate the events that I'm going to a little bit better with this like changing. Events were weird last year. Any person who vends at events will tell you that like it was strange what was happening, especially here in Rhode
Island. Turnout or more like what, a COVID what was
thing?
It?
Or?
A little bit of turnout at some, like some events that were really popular, like weren't really popular last year, but also just people's like willingness to shop. So like I said, like once that switch flips in September, usually people are buying Christmas gifts. Right. I had a couple events right before Christmas where like last year people were like, give me whatever you got. Like right. I got to get these gifts done. That was not the case this year. I don't know if it's the way Christmas falls, like date wise, when you can stop getting things in. I don't know. It was just strange. So my goal is to reevaluate kind of the events and my schedule. You know, what's worth your time? What's not worth your time? And where are the items going to go, really? Who's the clientele that's going to shop it also?
Yeah, because you think people are buying online more than ever now, right? Like they'd be searching there.
Some of the tough part with that is, though, like I do have my own website now in addition to Etsy. So it's like bringing those people in and bringing them to my website. But it's really interesting because I also have people that come up to me at events that are like, we came just for you because you've been here the last 3 years and we're excited to see you.
That's awesome.
They don't follow me on social media. They don't. But they're still a community that I've built. They're not on my email list. Like they don't interact with me other than to know I hope she's back at this event,
right.
Which is like great. But it's also like, oh, like that's a community I wasn't even like thinking about.
Right, right.
Might
not even know that you had them if they didn't say anything.
Exactly,
exactly.
And I'm really good at like faces. So like when people come up to me, like I know that I've like seen them before.
Yeah.
I always say that I like keep my like inventory of what people bought in my head. And I'm pretty good at it for the most part. But yeah, so just kind of reevaluating where and when to be. What we're going to bring, like those kind of things, and also just introducing like new things in that kind of sense. And then on the flip side at the 80 group, I'm really kind of working on, I've spent the last 6 months working on what kind of clients I want to bring in. So who do I want to be working with? Because obviously this contract at Brown has been really, really great for me and for growth and those kinds of things. But as that kind of comes on to I'm needing more clients, like what direction do I want to go in?
Yeah, figuring out your ideal clients. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I've spent a lot of like soul searching, I guess, for the last couple months. And now my goal is to really kind of go out there and kind of bring those people in.
Yeah.
And some of that focus is to just, like I said, like if you're not posting about it, people don't know about it. But I just like to share like the pieces of my day and the things that I'm working on because people aren't going to know that I can help them with something if they don't know that I can help them with something.
Right.
So that's kind of the goal for the next 6 months in those directions.
Cool. Yeah. Love it. Awesome. Yeah. Last question. What's one piece of advice you could give to anybody looking to start a business or somebody who's in the early stages?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think my one piece of advice would be to just trust your gut. I think that, you know, from the 19-year-old in her college dorm, like building it, like I was just winging it. Like I was like, oh, I think this might sell. Like, let's try this. And it's we're still here. So it's working somehow.
Something worked.
I will say trust your gut, but then also do the research. So I trust my gut and I trust my gut design wise and things like that. But also once you've started, really get out there and make sure you're like learning about what you're actually doing so that you are going in the right direction.
Cool.
Is where I would say.
Do you have any crazy like order stories that you can share? I'm sure.
Do I have any crazy order stories? Well, I do shirts for sorority girls, so like there. that's a category in itself. But I will say with that, you know, a lot of times customers come to me that needs things fast. And some of the like beauty and growth of my business has been because I'm able to like take those orders and grow them really fast. But, you know, there's always crazy in that. I've had people like open up a case with Etsy and tell me that they never got their shirt, but they posted on Instagram with the shirts on. Like, and I find that, like, I'm not dumb.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
if you tell me
that's
that,
like people posting their crimes online on Twitter.
Yeah, like,
watch
I'm
me
going,
shoplift this store. Like, are you
I'm
dumb?
I'm going to look you up. If you tell me you didn't get your stuff, I'm going to look you up. I'm a USPS expert, okay?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I know if that actually got delivered to you or actually did not.
Right.
And so, you know, I actually, it happened to me this year, and I sent it into Etsy. I was like, hey, like, I know you're not going to do anything, but like, just so you know, here's a screenshot. And I sent it to them.
That's awesome.
Don't be silly. Yeah. I'm going to find you.
And and like, say they go and put a negative review on you, then that's hurting your business for something that you still did the right thing.
Exactly.
So.
Right.
Yeah. I've had a lot of crazy shipping, like,
and the shipping's not, that's out of your hand too. Yeah. It's hard because.
So yeah, when I first started, like, I did not have any disclaimers. If you go on my Etsy and there are disclaimers everywhere that once it is out of my hands, like, I cannot physically control when it's going to get to you.
Right.
And like, they're everywhere, but people don't read them. So the first, like, I have like it copy and pasted ready to go. And somebody's like, my order's not going to come in time. And I'm like, well, first of all, it probably will. Because the USPS, like, they don't, the tracking doesn't always update, but like,
it takes forever.
It's coming to you.
Yeah.
And like, I have enough of a system of like where I ship things out. Like, I can tell you it's going to go to this distribution center and then it's going to go here. And that kind of works out. But yeah, the shipping stories are wild. Yeah.
I love the memes about USPS that it'll be like, checks tracking. Sorry, this package doesn't exist. Checks tracking. Sorry, this package doesn't exist. Checks tracking. Hey, your package was delivered.
Yeah.
Like, it just goes.
Don't update.
Yeah.
No, and that's like my real life. But I will say that I don't. I try not to check it. Like, it will stress me out if I'm checking it. So I just don't check it until somebody's like, oh, there's a problem. I'm like, why didn't you tell me this?
Yeah.
Just a quick funny one. Going off the thing of the person posting the shirts but saying they never got them, posting your crimes online, there was a kid in Oakland, California. This was like a couple weeks ago or something. A girl or guy, whoever was like with him, following him, took a video of him stealing 45 iPhones from an Apple store, like walking in and just ripping
them. I saw that. Yeah, I saw that.
It went viral. And they literally, the video follows him doing the whole thing out the door. You can see him stuffing the iPhones in his pants, follows him out the door, out into the street, and literally watches him get into a car. They could probably read the plate number. They saw his face. They ended up catching him, and they're holding him on $850,000 of bail.
And also, can't they just shut off those iPhones?
No, they're all
not real.
They're all like test devices. They can be remotely deactivated. They don't work. They're bricked.
Yeah.
Like, one of the comments were like, you're not going to be able to charge any of those things because he was just ripping them all.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. Yeah, people are crazy. T-shirts too. Like, I know T-shirts don't weigh that much when unless you're shipping like a bunch of them.
Right.
So a lot of times they don't get scanned like in tracking, and people are like, it's never going to make it on time to me. And I'm like, it probably is. Like, I don't know what to tell you, but it probably is going to make it to you on time.
Order more shirts next time and you'll get tracked.
Well, it's funny. I used to send things, like, there used to be a way to send things without tracking, and now I'm like, no.
Not even worth it.
No, you can only purchase tracking. And I do local pickup, so some people like prefer to do that, but it's literally at my home. So I have you on the Ring camera, like, that you got it. Like, here's your evidence, which is fine. Nobody ever like sends anything like that. But yeah, shipping has been an adventure.
What's your favorite shipping partner? out of all of them.
You can sponsor me? No. If I want to make real sure that something's getting there on time, I'll send it through UPS. But for the most part,
UPS is the best.
Yeah, for the most part, I ship with USPS, mostly because they come to my door to pick it up. So like, I don't have to go to the post office. So that's like a major win for me. But if I need to be sure that something's guaranteed to get somewhere on a certain day, UPS.
My wife always makes fun of me for using UPS because they're more expensive than the post office. But I'm like, I know it's getting there, and it's not going to take 10 days to go one state over.
Well, like, it actually depends, too. Like, so I use a shipping, like, partner online that it's the same price, like, at the end of the day.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. PS does different, like, cubic weight. So, like, the heavier it is a little different. But yeah. For your standard, like, one or two shirts, it'll get there. Probably same price.
Oh, interesting. Because mm-hmm. there's a UPS. A lot of times, like, if she needs me to send something out, there's a UPS that's, like, two blocks from here. And it's, like, that's the way I go home. Yeah. So, I'll just go there. She's like, why didn't you go to USPS? It would have been, like, half the price. I'm like, yeah, but USPS is way out of my way. Like, UPS is literally right there. And
here's,
like,
the answer. Always buy the shipping label online. Do not go to the store.
Really?
Yes. Get a scale. Do not go to the store.
Is it just cheaper online?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. I guess you're saving from the employee. Is it, like, them doing the work?
Well, first of all, you're saving yourself in line. Because if you walk up and you say, oh, I already have a label, they, like, want to kiss your feet. So it's great. I'm like, yes, here you go. No, but if you buy the label online, it's cheaper because usually the online partners have, like, a discounted, like, commercial rate.
Interesting.
Like stamps.com or something like that.
Yeah, I use pirateship.com. They use...
Sponsor her.
Please sponsor me. You can use both UPS, USPS, and I think FedEx. So they compare the rates so you see where you're getting a better rate. That's and like cool. faster delivery time and stuff like that. Everybody in my life, I'm like, let me teach you how to ship.
Yeah, I guess.
Don't waste your money on this.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Do you have a... Sorry. No. We were looking at, because we were shipping out some hard drives for... the wedding business, and they have, like, custom made. I don't know if Lex.
Oh yeah, mailers.
Custom made mailers. Do you have that made up for your business, or do you just throw them?
I don't have custom ones, but I do buy from somebody who makes really cute ones. So, they're, like, seasonal. So
it stands out.
Yeah, I change them up. But no, they're not branded because that's outrageous cost wise, and some you have to buy a lot. And I do. I ship a lot, but I also do a lot in person, and they don't need them. So.
Right.
So
I think it was like $1.25 for 50, I think, of which is a lot for a packaging.
I try to keep it at like 7 cents a mailer.
I think if you went to, there was one, I remember if you went to a certain amount, it was like 80 cents per mailer.
I wonder if it was the design I chose too, if it costs differently. I'm not sure.
My solution to that is I buy logo stickers.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And just put the sticker on the thing.
Just brand them that way.
Yeah.
Because it's outrageous to buy your own mailers.
Yeah. Cool. Well, Kayla, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming out. Tell everybody where they can find your Instagram and website.
Yeah. So you can find Ivy and K at IvyKay. Very simple. My face is there, so you'll be able to find me. And then also at The 80 Group on Instagram. Ivy and K is also on Facebook, so you can find us there. And then IvyandK.com, spelled the same way. You can check out all the merch. Like I said, I do local.
Buy some of her inventory.
Yeah, please just stash the inventory. No, it's fine. I do local pickups, so if you're close and around, I'm also happy to work with you on custom, so business apparel, things like that. Just shoot me an email and we can get that started. And then if you're interested in any of my, like, consulting and growth, project management, those kind of things, that's the80group.com. You can check out our services there, but we also do custom, like, packages and needs, so whatever you need, we'll help you out in either way.
Awesome. And that's the80group.
Yes,
right?
Yes. the80group.com.
Awesome. Kayla, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate this was awesome. Coming out. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed, and we'll catch you on the next episode.